Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror, the podcast that takes an episode of Black Mirror and, as it says, cast reflections on it. Your hosts are, as always, are me, Dan.
And me, Dan.
How are you doing, Dan?
Yes, I am very well, thank you. How are things your end?
Yeah, okay. I'm recording this on a day where I've just edited, actually, the Joan is Awful episode. So people won't have seen it, but the failed attempts at the introduction this week have been because I've been confusing myself with that episode. So
yeah, we've been recording now for about 14 minutes, haven't we, as you try to nail my introduction.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I was going to allude to the fact that it was funny because we were talking about this episode in that one because it was one of the programs that appear on the Streambury screen as I'm sitting down to watch it. And I think at the time we were commenting that the character didn't want to watch it because it was too serious or too sort of frightening. But yeah, we are here for season 6, episode 2, Lock Henry. It's actually got quite, as the theme continues, quite a few famous people in this and a couple I didn't initially recognise. So the main characters are Samuel Blenkin as Davis McArdle. Then you've got, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Myhala Herald as Pia. Now, I recognised her, but couldn't put my finger on it. And then I looked her up. And did you recognise her?
But I would have no idea where from, though.
She was in that Netflix film, Leave the World Behind, with Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke. You know, it's the one about the...
The weird one.
The weird one that came out, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I can place her now.
Yeah, it's got Daniel Portman, who is Podrick, if I've said that name right, in Game of Thrones. And of course, you've got John Hannah, who's been in almost everything. And Monica Dolan, who plays the mother in this, she's another one of those actresses, isn't she, that if you've grown up in England or with British TV, you'll know she's probably been in 101 things. You won't be able to name them all, but yeah. And written, as always, by Charlie Brooker. Now, if I'm right, well, I think I know I'm right, Chat Tsunami, Satsu from there, either lives around where they filmed this or he was visiting where they filmed it, because he's obviously from Scotland. And yeah, I think he knows the area where they filmed this.
So. Yeah, I think they filmed it in Loch Lomond, did they? I think I literally just read that.
I don't know, but it looked lovely though, didn't it?
Yeah.
That one scene. Probably the one uplifting scene in the whole programme.
Yeah, about 45 minutes outside of Glasgow. I think it was filmed in Loch Lomond, because Loch Henry isn't a real place. That's made up.
Yeah.
Because I literally just Googled that just as we were introing, because I thought that'd be quite interesting. But
I've got mixed views on this episode, but it's your one to take the lead on. So I'll let you go through it, and then, yeah, we'll talk as we go through it.
Because you've said this a few times before when we start talking, and you're like, I've got mixed views. But by the time we finish talking, I feel like you've come round and I've actually enjoyed the episode.
It was funny, as I was editing the previous episode, I've actually dropped down points for this episode. As in, I had a higher score in mind, and I've gone down.
Have you? We can see if we get that score back up.
Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant. I'm giving it 11 out of 10.
Right, so let's get started. So the film is based around a young couple called Davis and Pia, who Davis is obviously Loch Henry is his hometown from Scotland, and Pia, she wasn't English, was she?
She's American.
She's American. That's right. Yeah. And they've obviously met while he has been doing some sort of film and media course, and Pia was someone who was on the course, and they've met and they've formed a relationship, and now we're coming back to Loch Henry to kind of visit the hometown. Which I always find quite interesting, because that sort of setting, you know, Loch Henry and, you know, those Scottish places like that, I always find that internationals don't understand how amazing those places are until they go and visit them, because they don't really have places like that, do they? I always find that kind of unique to the British Isles. And
but I would say even to us, like where we live in England, it's fairly flat and boring, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you go to an area like that and yeah, you've got those huge mountains and lakes.
Anyway, so they've come back to visit his mum and his hometown. So They're staying with Janet, who is Davis's mother. And then it's quite quickly explained that his dad passed away when he was 8 and he was a policeman in the village. And I think it's quite clear at this point is that Janet and Pia are from completely different worlds, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, she's quite modern and kind of almost taken from that generation, or millennial, if that's the right word, or Gen X, the next one. Whereas she is definitely stuck back in the 70s, 80s somewhere. And she's quite old-fashioned, isn't she, with how she lives her house. And she has all those VHSs on the shelves and just the way she lives her life.
There was definitely some awkward interactions, weren't there, between the mother and Pia?
Yeah, definitely. And Pia just kept on dropping herself in it, didn't she, with some of the things that she kind of said, because she was being, what was it? She was aware that the dad was a police officer. And then at the dinner table, she then started slating the police, didn't she?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then she was quickly kicking herself after that. And then also made some other awkward comments.
Also, like you said, the mother does look very, I think you said it's almost like she was from the 80s kind of thing, wasn't it? It's very, and the house looked like it was from that moment in time almost as well, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's not been modernised at all, has it? Yeah. And I even think the conflict of, even at the dinner table where Pia didn't eat the potatoes and she was like, I'm trying to stay away from carbs sort of thing. That's a very kind of modern young person thing to do, whereas the older generation, that just is never a thing, right?
Eat up,
make sure your plate's clean, do not get down from a table until your plate is clean, sort of attitude.
No pudding till you've eaten your main.
Yes, that's it. I think my grandparents used to be along the lines, if you don't eat it, we're gonna put it in the fridge and you can have it for lunch tomorrow. But yeah,
those were the days.
Yeah, very different worlds. And then after that, they go and visit the local pub, which is where his friend Stuart works. Stuart makes quite a few comments about Davis changing and like being a different person to the guy that he was. And a bit that made me laugh, and I don't know if you called it, was when Stuart said something along the lines of, you're going to tell me you use pronouns now, aren't you? And that bit made me laugh because, that again, that's a very modern thing outside world, which probably someone who, you know, a village like Loch Henry, which is almost probably trapped in a bit of a time bubble, just wouldn't understand. So they go and have a drink in this pub, and it's quite clear at this point that Loch Henry is a bit of a ghost town, with a lot of things kind of locked up and boarded up. Stuart starts telling the fact that they have a last pub that's still open, and the pub is obviously very, very, very empty. At one point, I think the dad comes down and literally just gets a drink and then goes back upstairs, and he kind of claims that's what always happens. He only comes down when he wants a drink. So you can see the pub struggling to get by, and just the whole village is as well. And then it turns out that actually the village used to be quite a big tourist attraction until something bad happened, and now it's a bit dead. So then Pierce starts asking some questions about what happened, and I begin to tell the story of what happened. And he kind of jumped to the end of the story first, wasn't it? He kind of made it clear it was murder, kind of like in the first few moments of the story. And then they had to drag it back and start the story from scratch. So it then cuts back to what do you reckon, back in the 90s, do you reckon we're talking about?
I actually thought it was probably the 80s. Thought, yeah, maybe 80s / 90s.
Yeah.
You forget how long ago the 90s was, actually. So it could have been the 90s.
Yeah, well, he was 8. The guy, Davis, would have been 8, so I was trying to work out.
Possibly the 90s then.
Yeah, yeah. So, because what do you reckon, he's about 30 years older now? Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't have put more than that.
Yeah, so anyway, that's irrelevant to the story. So they go, they cut back to a story where it's a tourist attraction, and then there's a young couple who are honeymooning in Loch Henry. A lot of people have seen them out and about, obviously enjoying life as they've just been happily married. And then the story gets interesting when the honeymooners just go missing. So when the cleaners come to clean the cottage that they'd been staying in, all their stuff was still there, but the honeymooners were long gone. No one can find the couple. I think it's kind of the local news for a couple of days, and then it begins to hit national news that this couple have disappeared off the face of the planet. But then what happens, and I thought this bit was interesting, he said, then everyone kind of forgot about it because then Diana died, and obviously the news and the media took on that, as it would, took on that story and kind of forgot about this couple disappearing. And then I don't know how much time passes after that before it starts talking about Ian Adair, who was beginning to make a nuisance of himself in the local pub, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His
Stuart's pub, it was that one, wasn't it? It was being run by his dad at the time.
Correct, yeah. So Ian was continuously getting drunk in his pub, making a bit of a nuisance of himself, shouting, to the point where Davis's dad had to... What happened? Davis's dad went back to check on him or talk to him.
I think they have an argument, don't they? He's drinking in the pub and he's causing problems. They have an argument and this Ian threatens to come back and shoot everyone up, I think, doesn't he? And then Stuart's dad asks Davis's dad, who's a policeman, to go just check, just to make sure that he isn't. It was like a threat rather than, it was more of an over-the-top drunk man's threat rather than an implied threat, yeah.
Yeah, so then it cuts back to where Ian lives, and Kenny, I think his name is, isn't it, the dad, checks on him. But then he ends up getting shot by Ian as he's walking away from a property. So he gets kind of, I think it's shot in the shoulder. Not a fatal wound, but enough to take him down. And then Ian goes on a bit of a killing spree and kills himself and his parents. At that point, backup arrives and they find, as they're searching the house, they find a bunker where it's quite clear it looks like a torture chamber and begin to kind of find evidence of something untoward happening down in the bunker. And then it goes on to say that then as the police continue searching, they find, I think it's 8 bodies, isn't it, that have been buried out in the garden. So it comes clear that Ian had been torturing these people in his bunker and then burying them in the field outside his house. And when kind of Pia kind of like asked questions about that part of the story, and I thought this was quite interesting, maybe a little bit sad. It's almost like they kind of got away with it for that long because it's not uncommon for people to go missing while they're walking out in the moors or to fall into streams. So what did no one have kind of picked up on the fact that people were continuously going missing?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, when you look at it, if you think these are massive like mountains or deep lakes, and so they said, yeah, a rambler might not come back, or somebody will fall into a lake and disappear. And it's like, you've been to the Grand Canyon, haven't you?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. We're not saying it's the same as Loch Henry, but you can imagine people, how are you ever going to find someone there? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the Grand Canyon's quite, the thing that's about a Grand Canyon is a lack of safety barriers as well. And yeah, how easy it would be to fall off that thing.
Compared to here, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, back to Loch Henry rather than out in Nevada. So... It's so it kind of finishes the story and it kind of becomes national news again that these Ian has been committing these crimes and torturing and murdering these people. It then goes, Davis then goes on to say that even though his dad wasn't killed with a gunshot wound and actually did recover from a gunshot wound, he did contract MRSA when he was in the hospital and that eventually killed him. So Pia takes a very big interest in this story. It's kind of almost like intrigued. Like you kind of see her eyes light up, can't you? And she wants to go and see this property in this bunker of where it is. And Davis is obviously a bit hesitant because it's going to bring out old memories from not just his hometown, but also his family, because that's the incident that triggered his dad's death. And I think he's genuinely worried about his mum at this point as well. It's going to stir some emotion. Why they're at the house, and the bit I didn't mention earlier, is Pio and Davis are there to kind of record some sort of documentary. And I listened to this and I can't quite work out originally what they were going to film a documentary on. Something to do with eggs and...
I think there's a bird, like a rare bird, and there's egg smugglers, and I think it's someone who's protecting the eggs. And
yes,
they're doing a documentary on that, which doesn't sound... Well, you can see why Pio then sort of jumps at this story, right?
Yeah. So Pia now wants to do a documentary about this, which is quite, I thought she was a little bit intrusive at this stage and a little bit, you know, not considering his feelings at all about it. But anyway, she's quite keen. He's quite hesitant. And as time goes on, he begins to get a bit more convinced. When they tell Stuart in the pub the plan, he loves the idea because he thinks that will get tourism back. And then they actually, I thought this was interesting as well, when they talk about a Netflix documentary, don't they? And I thought it was interesting how they mentioned Netflix in a world where Streambury
literally has
the same logo and the same streaming service. And the fact they called it out as Netflix, I thought maybe that was a continuity error, but I thought that was quite funny how they did that.
Maybe Streambury went bust after, well, they broke the computer in Joan is Awful, didn't they? So maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And while they're at Stuart's pub as well, he digs out his mum's memory box, who has obviously hoarded a lot of the newspaper cuttings and news articles from the time of the missing stuff. And his mum has since passed away. So they now begin to get some more information on about this, and they start making their film. And it kind of cuts to a few scenes of, you know, they're using drones to get pictures of the landscape and sort of cutting and editing. I guess similar to what you do in your podcast editing. But
it doesn't look as exciting and as dynamic as it does.
That's what I pictured. When I watched that scene, I thought that's exactly what Dad looks like when he does his editing.
There was a lot less swearing going on.
So they start making this film. As they are interviewing Stuart in the pub, his dad falls down the stairs, obviously drunk, but obviously very angry that this film is about to be filmed. And he's obviously not happy about it and wants to stop it. They cut back to more editing, and the mum, Janet, kind of catches them kind of making the film, and they explain what the thing's about. And I actually thought she was going to have a reaction to say, I don't want you doing this.
Yeah.
But she was actually quite keen for it on the basis that they make sure Ian gets the blame for the death of Kenny, her husband. It felt like as long as that narrative was there, then she was comfortable and even supportive to the point where she wanted to help.
Yeah, because that's the thing. And I got the vibe all the way through it that this was now an isolated village. They didn't want anyone from outside coming in. We don't want any information. But yeah, like you said, it was a complete opposite to that. And she couldn't wait to get the story out. And she wanted to make sure that, yeah, like you said, her husband was recognised as another victim of Ian Adair. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that bit was interesting. She actually rendered an interview, didn't she? And she makes a few comments which get called out at the end. And when you kind of look back on it, I quite like that, those clever comments that she made. But when the reveal happens at the end, were more important than you realised at the time. You think they're throwaway lines, but you realise it's all linked. But we'll talk about that in a second. Then it cuts to, I've wrote it down as Netflix's office, but I'm assuming it's Streambury's office, where they're trying to sell the story.
Where the poster is, I'll let you say that. But no, I think it's like a producer. Yeah, I don't think it's the streaming platform. I think it's like an investor or a producer for the documentary, yeah.
So they're in this office trying to sell their story or get someone to help them produce it. And this is the one Easter egg I did spot.
You even sent me a picture.
I took a picture of it and sent it. But they had a big poster called The Callow Years in the background. And I thought that was quite clever, because usually we have Easter eggs on TV screens and news articles. And I think this felt clever because it wasn't part of a digital board, so to speak. Yeah. It was actually a poster.
And they weren't hiding this one, were they? And it does make me laugh. Why him? Maybe because it's the first episode, but he is the enduring Easter egg, isn't he? Old Prime Minister Callow, yeah.
Yeah, he's done well for himself, hasn't he? And they kind of get a knockback, don't they, from this producer who says, we really need to find some new material. So they kind of go away a bit disappointed. And then the three of them, PR, Davis and Stuart, make a plan to actually break into the house and the chamber torture.
Just on that, and this feeds into what you said, the interesting thing was that she was saying, unless you've got anything new, we won't be interested. And then he lies and says that, we've got access to the house and the bunker, which I think at the time, if I remember right, Davis looks annoyed at. And again, it just goes back to what you were saying about how she's treating this like a bit of entertainment.
Yes.
Whereas it's his life. So so she says, we've got access to the bunker, basically.
Yeah, so they go into the bunker, and I found this scene quite funny as well, where they were going to get some lemon juice and squeeze it over the place and then use a black light to make it look like, I don't know if they were trying to make it look like blood or bodily fluids. I couldn't quite work out what they were trying to recreate. But when they put the black light on the lemon juice, they realise that there's so much that's showing up. But he goes, I don't think we need the lemon, which I thought was quite funny. And they then begin to kind of, they kind of act out a scene, don't they, whereby they're all wearing white coats, lab coats, and they're kind of pretending that they're searching for stuff to kind of get this new material. They then get their back in their van, which was an Enterprise rent-a-van, which I thought was quite prominent, wasn't it? A good bit of product placement there.
I was going to say, I missed something there. Or is it? No, it's just, very good advertising for you,
But it was quite...
And sorry, good advertising generally here. So if you're listening, what did you say it was? Ford? Was it a Ford, was it?
It was Enterprise rent-a-van,
Enterprise, yeah. If they're listening and they want to sponsor this, look, that's about the fifth time we've said your name now. So.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was quite weird they had such a big van, considering what they were doing as well. But hey-ho. But on the way back, they are getting happy and singing along, and all of a sudden they crash the van with some upcoming traffic, and they all kind of end up in hospital being checked out. At this point, Stuart's dad is already in hospital from his fall earlier. Davis has to stay in hospital because he's concussed. Everyone else has minor injuries, and at this point, Janet takes him back home. So Pia is now staying in, I guess, her mum-in-law's house, really, with Janet by herself in the middle of absolutely nowhere where she can't get a signal. And they were quite important that they showed that she was kind of cut off from the world. I did think it was funny as well that she was serving up shepherd's pie when the day before she was like, I need to stay away from carbs. We'll just give you a load of mashed potato.
I love shepherd's pie though.
It's very true. So they kind of settle into the night. Davis in hospital playing games on his phone. But then Stuart's dad comes over and starts telling him again that he needs to stop filming. And he kind of lets on to that he knows information that no one else knows, but he can't prove it. He hasn't got the evidence, but he knows information. At the same time, Pia is doing some editing and looking through one of these VHSs where she's looking at the video clips that they've captured today. As the VHS continues to play and she's kind of doing some stretching, it cuts to this detective show, which was advertised as being on VHS.
It was Bergerac. Did you never watch Bergerac?
No. Was it a real episode?
Bergerac was a real detective show. Yeah. It was huge. Yeah. I remember seeing it, but yeah, I think it was set in Jersey. So that's what I found funny about this program was they kept referencing Bergerac.
Yeah. Must have been before my time, Dan.
Oh, come on.
But as the Bergerac episode finishes, then it cut to another disturbing scene. And at this point, the reveal begins to happen. And I must admit, when I watched this first time round last year, I didn't see this coming, what this video clip revealed. But essentially, it cuts to those two honeymooners in the torture chamber. And they are being tortured by none other than Kenny, the policeman, who's Davis's dad, and Janet, the mother, who's wearing a mask and kind of playing some sort of sex game with it.
They were having real fun, weren't they, those two?
Having real fun, yeah. Like they were role-playing, weren't they, where he was kind of playing the police officer and I think she was playing the nurse. And she came in and I found it difficult to watch.
Very bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, very bizarre. And of course, Pia's just sitting there watching this, knowing that she's in the house all alone.
Yeah.
With now who she knows as someone who's complicit to murder downstairs. So it was a very weird, revealing few minutes, wasn't it? So then dinner's ready. Pia goes downstairs and tries to have dinner with Janet, but obviously is really freaked out by what she's seen. She tries to make a phone call privately to Davis, but obviously doesn't have a signal, so can't. So then she decides to go on a walk.
But sorry, just before that, because the key thing, the reason why she gets freaked out is she spots on the wall behind the mother, the mask on the wall, doesn't she? That she saw her wearing that video. And that's then what kind of makes her feel extremely uncomfortable that she wanted to escape the house.
Yeah, indeed. So she kind of runs off into the dark. And I guess this whole being cut off in the middle of nowhere in kind of the moors or the hills, I don't think people really get how dark and weird it is out in there at night, isn't it? Like there is literally no light and you're in pitch black. Janet goes upstairs because Janet doesn't really know why Pierre's freaked out, but she goes upstairs and realizes what's happened and realizes that Pierre's seen some evidence that shows what's actually happened. So she goes out to try and find Pierre. And then Pierre kind of slips and kind of hits her head, doesn't she?
Pressing her late.
Yeah. I don't think Janet realizes that.
No.
No, Janet doesn't realize that. So she thinks that Pierre's gone with this new evidence. So she goes back to the cottage and she goes through a bit of a ritual where she gets kind of all the evidence, writes a note to her son and said, "This is for your documentary." And then she goes on to put the mask on and hangs herself in the cottage. Then it kind of ends and kind of cuts a bit further down the line, doesn't it? Where Streambree have obviously now picked this up and are showing an advert for this documentary that was produced and kind of shows, you know, there's the original murder and then the son goes back to do a documentary on it and then finds out the real truth about his parents. And it's a very good like advert, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I would watch that show if I saw that advert. That did look enticing.
And what I really like about that, see, you're watching a Netflix show about a couple making a documentary, which then features on Netflix. Do you see what I'm saying? It's quite, when you start wrapping your head around it, it's quite funny.
Yeah. So there's a few other Easter eggs in the next few minutes, which I spotted without having to read. So I'm going to talk through them.
Well done. I don't think I did. So yeah.
Did you not? So when they were advertising the Streambree show, they mentioned it with the front of it from the producers of The Callow Years.
Oh, that's what it was. I had one note here. I've got Streambree documentary Callow Years. And that's how I couldn't remember what I...
Yeah, they kind of, like, you know, like they announced from the makers of, and then they said the Callow Years, which was quite good.
Yeah.
And then it kind of cut to, I will say it was part of the advert. It cuts back to that interview that Janet was doing, and a few of the lines that she said now become clear that they have like a double meaning. And it was along the lines of, "Oh, we didn't have this camera technology back in my day, or the last time I was in front of a camera. And can you imagine if your dad had all this technology?" And she's obviously referring to her dark past.
Yeah, well, the videos. Because, she says something like, "Oh, it's been a long time
since I was in front of a camera.
It was a long time since I had one of those pointed at me." And then, he says something like, "Oh, well, it would have been a lot different to this because this is for broadcast. Dads wouldn't have been for broadcast." And she says something like, "Oh, could you imagine?" And at the time, you don't think about it.
No, but when it's played back, you're like, "Oh my God, imagine if it was broadcast."
Completely different feel. I thought that was brilliant because, I hadn't, you know, when you get used to watching these things, you think, "Oh, that's going to be important." But that little scene with the mother then just completely fooled me. Yeah.
And then it kind of cuts to a BAFTA ceremony whereby this new production is up for BAFTA. And this is the other Easter egg that I spotted, that one of the nominees for this award was, what's it called, Euthanasia in San Gennaro? There was a San Gennaro reference as one of the award winners.
There definitely was, I hadn't picked it up, but there was.
So I picked up that one. And they win the BAFTA. Tourism has obviously returned to Loch Henry, whose pub is now like rammed full of people, which again just shows, you know, just what a bit of bad publicity does to a place. Just shows what, you know, it's people rubbernecking, isn't it? It's people going to have a look at this disturbing place. But and I felt so sorry for him, because all this stuff is happening around him. He's just been through the most traumatic event of his life with his girlfriend dying, his mum and dad being found out as not just murderers, but sick murderers.
Yeah. Mother killing herself as well.
Yes. Yeah. And he quite clearly needs to go to therapy. he needs to unpack some of what he's been through, but he's obviously just going through the motions. And you could tell when he's on the stage, when he's back in his room, you could just tell that he's not there. And I felt so sorry for him.
Because he didn't even want to do that documentary. And now that's what's made him famous, kind of what he wanted to do. But it's incredible.
And that's kind of when the episode ends.
The only other thing I was going to add was there was a couple of things. Right back when they were at the pub the first time and Stuart was telling the story and he said about the dad getting shot in the shoulder and the Ian Adair killing himself and his family, he called it pharmacide. I don't think that would be
good. I didn't clock that.
And yeah, the only other thing, yeah, to clear up. So with the dad, yeah, the dad killed Ian Adair and his family, then shot himself in the shoulder to give him the alibi that he was shot by. So the dad effectively also killed himself, because if he hadn't shot himself in the shoulder, he wouldn't have got the MRSA. Interesting episode.
So my first question for you is, because this is the first time you watched this episode, is that right?
Yeah.
Because we're now, did you see that twist coming?
I don't think I did. I don't know what I was expecting. I think I guessed it literally just as it was about to happen, because I think it then becomes clear that something's got to happen, and, you know, that Davis is in hospital and that Pia's on her own with the mother. So I think the brain just jumped to it. But no, because the mother just played that role so well. She was very, what's the word? I want to say like prim and proper, very quiet housewife almost, if you know what I mean.
But yeah, she was. But what I think they did quite well is up until that point, she was a nothing character. Like, she could have been...
Exactly, yeah.
She was almost like an extra up until that point. Like, she'd only said about two or three lines throughout the entire thing, maybe apart from an interview. So I thought that was very clever why they did that, because they almost dismissed her as a character and focused on all the other characters around. And you thought there was something more suspicious about Stuart's dad.
Exactly, like, yeah.
That's the one you thought was going to come out and something weird about
the alcoholic getting angry when they were starting to dig up the memories. I mean, I even thought, could it be something with that Ian Adair? Had he escaped? Could it be something with the people that went missing and they hadn't actually gone missing and it was them that had done it? You start thinking of everything, but I wouldn't have put the mother being the villain of the piece.
Yeah, very good.
It was an interesting episode. I really liked it. I still think, for me, I thought his mate was the best character. I almost want an episode on him alone. He was great.
Yeah, it's interesting the way he spoke to his dad as well, wasn't it? And about his dad.
Put him in his place, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was almost playing the dad character, wasn't he?
Yes.
The responsible one in the pub. What are your feelings about the episode as a whole? Because you said at the start that you're not sure whether you liked it or disliked it. What are your thoughts now?
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you where my head's at. I like it as an episode, but for me, it could be a drama on ITV, or it could be a police drama. It's not necessarily a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, okay.
If you see what I mean. And I think, so I'm probably being a bit harsh on it, because it was a great bit of TV in its own right. But if you put this into a weekly police drama, then I would think, yeah, that's a great episode of that show. There's nothing inherently kind of what I feel Black Mirror about this episode.
Yeah, well, there was nothing really about tech either, was there? It was just, like you said, it's a drama. So it was a bit un-Black Mirror-y.
Yeah.
I do agree with
that. It was a good crime thriller. That's what it was, I think.
Yeah.
What is interesting about it, and it was only you said something which then made it twig in my head. It is interesting, isn't it, that, and we've seen it in real life as well, so this town became deserted because of crime. But now in the modern day, that crime has made that place a haven for tourists and like true crime fans. And it is funny how things change. Like, even now in London, we've got like Jack the Ripper walks and things like that, aren't there? Yeah. That people
exactly, realize. which I've been on recently, and I found it fascinating.
Yeah.
And all we literally do is walk you around to all the places where we killed someone and kind of said, someone died over there and someone died over there. And I was fascinated. So I'm exactly the same as these people who would flock to these places.
That's what I think. When you look back at this episode, there are some really interesting things in it. And one is that what made the town deserted is also now what's made it booming again.
Yeah. I guess it is the equivalent of kind of rubbernecking on the motorway, isn't it? Where traffic slows down to look at something bad that's happened on the other side of a road. And you always think to yourself, oh my God, I just sat in a traffic jam because people slowed down to have a look. And I think it is the equivalent of that, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is interesting, the difference between her and him. And I did read somewhere, some people are saying that the reason Pia died is because it was her attitude to that. I think people may be reading into it, unless Charlie Brooker did write it like that. And if you're listening, let me know.
I just thought her death was really random and unnecessary. Yeah.
It felt
and
cheap.
And the fact that, yeah, cheap is the word. And the fact that it was caused by a fall rather than Janet killing her or something along those lines. I think I'm going to mark it down. When we get to the end, I'm going to mark it down because of that random death. I just don't think it added anything to the story.
It's almost at that point, if the mother had killed her, then you could almost say, yeah, okay, because we know the mother had that in her at that point.
Yeah. And also there's something else for him to deal with, isn't it? Not only the grieving of his mum, but the fact that his mum killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whereas it was just random. You know, it's just a random piece of grief that he's got to go through. And actually, if she'd stayed alive and been part of that whole production, they could have done a whole spin-off episode, couldn't they, where she's like keen to sell the story and do the documentary while he's trying to grieve at the same time. There's a whole extra half hour of content there, isn't there?
Yeah, I looked at that and I thought that was a bit cheap at the time. I thought maybe the mother might kill her, and I thought this is then when it might become, in my head, Black Mirror, where you know the mum becomes then like the Terminator, you know, so she's gone from being this quiet widowed mother to this killing machine, you know, because the way we saw in that video, we know we know that she's got a character in her.
A little bit sadistic. So I didn't like that part of it. Any other comments on the show at all, or any things you want to delve deep into?
I think setting it in Scotland, in the Loch of Scotland, was great because it is very isolated, and it does add that creepy feel to it, especially as a lot of it was at night as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And have you seen The Wicker Man?
No, I haven't seen that, no.
And it's probably, people listening to this, probably a lazy comparison to do, but I just had real strong Wicker Man vibes through it. Okay. So watch Wicker Man because it's a good film. That's what I was saying at the start. I think I'm a bit mixed about this because it was just a good bit of TV to watch, but hasn't left me with many things other than the true crime nature now making things popular, the whole abandonment and then the tourists coming back. I think what I did like was the fact that the tech in this was old tech, so it was VHS.
Yes.
You know, so instead of futuristic mind reading, memory reviewing tech, it was old videotapes.
The VHS did remind me of what it was, you know, when I used to go around my grandparents' house. They used to have a series of VHSs, and each one had like a number on, and then they would have a book with what was recorded on each number.
Oh, right.
And if they wanted to record a new TV show, they would then scrub out what was on it and then write down the new thing and use that VHS. And it really reminded me of what it was like, because it's such a clear memory of them doing that. Yeah, I thought that was really cool, whereas that's just a world we just, you know, it's all stored on our phones now, isn't it? Or it's streamed. We don't have to have media to put this stuff on. And do you remember as well with VHSs where you used to have to set a timer, and you'd always set it like a few minutes before the episode and a few minutes after the episode finished, and then the whole code came in where you could get the TV quick and put the code into your video
TV
player.
TV Plus, I think that was.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of those days. It's like, that wasn't that far long ago, but the world has moved on.
Here we go. We're
going to
go off on a tangent. Yeah, because I think I've done like VHS on like retro thing on one of my earlier episodes. But yeah, the thing about the VHS is, one, I think is inherently can make it creepy or atmospheric now, because streaming and digital is just so clean, isn't it? But when you're watching a VHS, you sometimes get the lines and the degraded quality. But yeah, then the whole thing, like you were saying about setting a timer, and then TV Plus when that came out, which was about 20 numbers, wasn't it? 20 digits you had to put into the control.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, a bit where Peter's watching a video and then it cuts off, and then you've got the end of Bergerac, and then it cuts off and there's something else. That's how it was, because you might have recorded a 2-hour film, and then you might record an episode of a soap opera. And that's how it was. You'd be watching a videotape, and whatever's written on the edge of it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to be on it when you were playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she'd obviously hidden a lot of her videos on the Bergerac tapes, because that's what she collated, wasn't it, at the end?
Yeah.
She put all the tapes on the table, and they're all those Bergerac ones. So there's obviously a lot more clips. There's some, you know, it's one of those things that were out in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. So I thought that was quite good the way they did that.
So really, that was my main takeaway, that, rather than any future tech, it was very much old tech.
The shots of the drone were quite cool. They weren't there how they used the drone to kind of completely modernise it. Watching that made me feel like I want to go and get one. There you go.
Yeah, what about you? Is there anything else around the program?
Well, the one bit I did find myself thinking about, and I mentioned it in the walkthrough, is when they said, then Diana died, and then it didn't become a news story anymore. And then when he said that line, I was like, I wonder how many other bits of news went out the window. Like, because that must have been quite, you know, there might have been news stories going on, but then they just all got completely forgotten when Diana died, and because that's obviously such a massive, massive event in our history. I do wonder if there's any other news stories that kind of got lost about that time.
Possibly, but we know it happens now, you know, without going into them, but there are world events that have been happening for a couple of years, but now don't feature on the news because something else has happened. Yeah. And it's like you then maybe get in a couple of weeks' time, you might get a bit of a brief about what's happening there, and then it goes on. So the whole, you reminded me actually, that's a really interesting point about how the media, the stories in the media are only the flavour of the day for about a week or a month maybe, or a flavour of the week, day, week or month.
Well, actually, for some people, they're life-changing events.
Yeah,
whereas the Diana thing might not be a life changing event to those people, but the fact that those people went missing and died, that's life changing, and it just kind of got forgotten about with some other news. I found myself thinking about that comment quite a lot.
Yeah, but the only other thing about the episode itself is, and you hit the nail on the head, I almost would love to have an idea of what Davis went through.
Yeah,
because it goes from all that happening to the BAFTA. So there's probably, a couple of years in between?
Yeah.
And I'd love to have known what he was dealing with. I think that'd be the interesting piece.
Yeah. Do you know, I just realised, talking about my Diana references, when we were trying to work out when this was, we could have just thought about that comment and realised exactly what year it was.
So I'll go back and make us look more on the board.
That end bit, I just felt so, so sorry for him. And it would be interesting how much time had passed in between. But everyone was exploiting his destruction of his world. And it just felt a bit wrong, didn't it? It felt like it should have been released when he was ready.
Yes, yeah.
Do you think that... Sorry, delving into this a bit deeper, maybe it's a little bit dark question. But how do you even deal with that grief of finding out someone you love had been responsible for something so, so bad? Because you're obviously grieving for the loss of them, but then you must be so, so angry as well at the same time.
I mean, you do wonder if maybe the documentary may have helped.
Yeah.
In a way. I'm going to say it can't be easy.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a couple of notes about the programme note. Well, just I think we've sort of said it as well, but Brooker wanted to reflect the cinematic style of true crime documentaries and how he and his wife had considered travelling to Scotland after seeing it in a documentary. And funnily enough, we mentioned this in the last episode. We mentioned that documentary I watched at your house, The Lover, Stalker, Killer.
Yeah.
And that is done like a film, isn't it? It's about 90 odd minutes long, and the way they interlace it with sort of some actors and real footage and the interviews. Yeah. They are very slick now, aren't they?
Yeah, very good. And that one had a good few twists as well. So I'd recommend that to anyone listening if they wanted to watch something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's all I had as well, extra. So there were a few more Easter eggs. So before we go on to that and then score, was there anything else you wanted to shout out about the programme?
No, not for me.
Okay, so we had the Callow Years a couple of times. Now, I didn't see any of these, but apparently Davis's laptop shows a Waldo sticker. So he's back. And a Tucker Soft one from Bandersnatch, which we haven't done. There is a news ticker that refers to several episodes. So you've got Met Police Robot Dog, which is Metalhead. So now we know that those robot dogs were for the Met Police then.
Okay.
It references Saito Gemu headquarters for playtest. Politician Waldo and Hotshot Auditions 15 Million Merits. They're all referenced. And the final one I had isn't an Easter egg as such, but you know when they're going to the agent to pitch the documentary, the agent there says that Davis and Pia are told that the serial killer involved is not as notorious as Fred and Rosemary West. Monica Dolan, who plays Davis's mother, actually played Rosemary West in a TV adaptation of the story.
Very good link.
Yeah. So I kind of like it when they do things like that. I mean, that's a shocking story in its own right. But yeah, she played Rosemary West. So I wonder if you'd known that, watched it. Because you know sometimes how certain actors and actresses tend to play like a similar role. I wonder if you'd seen that and know that she's got that in her. Maybe you think.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I had. So let's get to the important bit. What is your score?
I'm going to give it, and this is purely because of Pia dying, a very random death. I'm going to give it a 6.8.
Okay.
I think with that, if I used my alternate ending, I think it would have been an 8.
But I think what was the alternate ending? So
that she doesn't die.
Oh, she doesn't die. So
she doesn't die. It becomes part of a production, and she's pushing for it to be released, and he's obviously still grieving. Because I think that would have been quite interesting.
Yeah, well, I think at least if she had killed the mother, had killed her. Maybe I think that might have made it a bit better.
Yeah.
Well, still traumatic.
That just shows the difference between how mine and yours minds work.
Yeah, you do like your point scores. I don't know, I was thinking, initially I watched it and I thought 8, because I thought it's a good episode, it is a good crime drama. And then I thought 7, because again, the Pia thing, the death was a bit cheap. And then I was thinking about going down to a 6, because I was thinking today that it's not a Black Mirror episode. But then am I being harsh on that?
That does feel a bit harsh. You've got to judge it on this as a standalone episode.
Of Black Mirror. Yeah, so I might go 6.5. I might go 6.5. 6 feels harsh. No, 7. 7. No, 6.5. 6.5. No, 7. 7.
Why don't you do 6.75 and go in the middle?
6.57. There we go. No, I'll give it 6.5. Yeah. Like I said, it's a good episode. It hasn't grabbed me. If you were going to give me, or if you asked me to give you like a top 5 or 10 episodes of Black Mirror, I don't think it would be in there.
Okay, that's fair.
So next week we are doing, or next episode we are doing Beyond the Sea. I haven't seen that, but I've just looked. It's about 80 minutes, so I probably better get watching it soon.
That's the one with Josh Hartnett, isn't it? And the guy from Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul, Josh Hartnett and Rory Culkin. Anything else from you, Dan, before we go?
No, nothing for me.
Okay, I am just going to shout out the Popak Collective. Hi to everyone in there listening. And yeah, we'll see you next episode for Beyond the Sea.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a scared.